I call to order the City Council Committee of the Whole meeting for February 25th, 2025. Clerk Clark, would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Councilmember O'Rear.
Here.
Councilmember Root.
Here.
Councilmember Williams.
Here.
Councilmember Roche.
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker.
Here. Please rise as you are able and join in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Each member of council has received a copy of the minutes for our January 28th Committee of the Whole meeting. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved as written. It's now time for item 5, citizen comments, and I call Mike Wyatt to the podium, please.
Hi, my name is Mike Wyatt. I'm at 106 Sylvan Oak Way, Simpsonville, South Carolina. I'm here to talk about the traffic issues along West Georgia in front of Oak Park neighborhood. Some of my neighbors are here as well. This is the stretch between McMaple Street and 378. Traffic has really gotten out of control there. It's a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit zone in front of our neighborhood, but it's not unusual to see most cars doing in excess of twice that much. Just yesterday, I was honked by someone who was actually, when I was pulling out of the neighborhood, by someone who was actually doing probably way exceeding the speed limit, very much so, where they had to slam on brakes. Even though the road was clear when I looked, by the time I pulled out, they were right upon me. And that's a typical situation throughout the day, especially with 18-wheelers coming around the corner. By the time you see them, you know, it's either too late and you have to go anyway, or they're just kind of right on top of you. But really, it's not only about the safety, it's about the quality of life there. The noise generated from the constant roar of the traffic, 25 miles an hour versus 50 miles an hour, the speed of the vehicles is much more loud, or much louder than it would be otherwise, especially for those that live toward, facing that road. I work from home all day, and I have to wear noise-canceling headphones all day long just to, filter out the traffic. And the 18-wheelers tend to go so fast that I don't even have to hear them to know they're out there. I can feel them through the vibrations in the house. But when I moved there a year ago, I bought that townhouse. It wasn't that bad. 25 miles an hour speed limit. It seemed like most people did follow the rules, but it's just progressively gotten worse and worse. And now, just the recent pavements that they made improvements to the road, I can see a difference already. Cars are going even faster. So, but the two points I really want to stress are the safety of trying to get in and out of our neighborhood. Especially getting out, because the time you see the road is clear, they're right up on you. So there's definitely a safety issue, but also the quality of life is just really diminished there very quickly because of the speed of the road. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
Next is Joseph Luna.
Good evening. My name is Joseph Luna. I'm living in the same neighborhood than the gentleman before. I was not aware that he was speaking up as well, so this is probably a repetition. But what I wanted to say is that obviously the 25 miles per hour, which is indicated from both sides, is not sufficient to slow down the traffic there. It is very dangerous to get out and in of the neighborhood where we live. Cars are approaching so fast that it is dangerous just to get out there. There is no mirror that you can see from the one side or you can see from the other side. It's sloping down, and there is, really no safe access or entrance to the neighborhood. Everything else, Mike has already said, the noise is very, noise level is very high due to the fast traffic there as well. So what?
Next is Christine Luna.
My name is Christine Luna. I'm living on 125 Seven Oakway, and my issue is the same than my predecessors. It's really the traffic on the West Georgia, and I'm wondering if it would be possible and would be maybe a solution to have stop signs, always stop signs at the crossing that are along the street, so the people that just have to stop and to accelerate then, they can't get the speed that they have now. It's just an idea. I don't know if it's possible. It's not my topic. Yeah, so and, I'm the person who walks a lot, and it's really hard to get to the other street side of the street, particularly because we don't have a sidewalk on our side. It's only on the other side. And you always have to cross the street at that area, and it's no fun. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next item is staff reports, and we'll begin with Christine Marino, our finance director, Director Marino.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A few highlights from the January financial report. Year-to-date revenues for our general fund were $11.9 million, which is 49% of the budget. Expenses were $25.4 million, which includes $11.2 million spent on the municipal complex. Year-to-date revenues for the sewer fund through January are $1.3 million, which is 58% of the budget, with expenses at $458,000, which is 37% of the budget. Year-to-date revenues for our special revenue fund through January were $3.6 million, and that's 91% of the budget. Expenses are $901,000, which is 47% of the budget. The year-to-date revenues for Public Works Enterprise Fund through January were $628,000, which is 40% of the budget. And expenses are $683, which is 53% of the budget. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Council? Thank you, Eric Freeman.
Thank you.
Next is our City Administrator Report, and Grace is our City Administrator.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. You have my staff report in front of you. I have updated concert announcements. I have also provided updated cultural arts and events announcements, and then updated progress on all of the projects that we've been working on for quite some time. With regard to sewer, I would like to go ahead and mention that next month we will be coming to you with an intergovernmental agreement between the city and MetroConnex to basically have them take over sewer collection for Kemet. Kemet is not in the city limits, and also our current sewer collection line runs under 385. It is in terrible condition, and it's nearly impossible at this point to build another sewer line. That one can't be lined. There's no repair we can do to it. It would have to be construction of a new sewer line. So Director West and I consulted with Metro over the course of the last several months. I just received the intergovernmental agreement yesterday, so it'll be a topic on next month's Committee of the Whole, but I did want to let you know, in case you hear that from other sources, that we are working toward that end. If we had tried to build the sewer without going under 385, it would have had to go through Metro's collection system. And there's no way they're going to let us flow our sewer through their collection system without some form of compensation. And you know, we are in the business of public service, so the goal here is to provide the best sewer collection service for Kemet and a solution to this problem. So you can expect to see that. With regard to other sewer infrastructure, still continue to work on the basins that we received the SCIP funding for. We were able to get a change order from the Rural Infrastructure Authority that will allow us to continue the work we're doing. When we accepted bids on that work early on in the project, we still had about $3 million that we could allocate. Now that the contractor is getting caught up, we're going to continue to do the CIPP throughout other parts of the city and expand into another sewer basin. With that, I'll just accept any questions you might have rather than try to read the report in full.
Council? Councilmember Roche.
For phase two for the city park improvements, I didn't see the misting station on there. Is that part of the water wall?
The misting station is already installed in the playground area. Okay. We just have the water cut off because it's been winter. And we'll cut that back on when temperatures are pretty steady, probably not till May, maybe toward the end of April.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yeah, a couple things. One, do you have any update on the crosswalk issue we had here? We were going to meet with the state.
Mm-hmm. And I did that, and he had an idea for a crossing there for pedestrians. He hasn't sent me the information yet. He said he was going to send me the visuals so we could see what it looks like and how it functions. But I think we're making some progress. I think they are willing to do that. Now, they would want the city to pay for it. So once we have their permission, we'll need to figure out where in the budget we can come up with the funding to go ahead and do that and not wait for the new fiscal year, because I know there's some urgency there for safety.
Okay. And on the work at North Almond, I know they've done some engineering work. Is there any kind of timeline of when we expect to see any action there?
I just got an update today from the engineer, and they have completed cost estimates for improvements at North Almond, where we had the culvert issue during Helene, and also Forest Park. So they're very close to that. The hydraulic study that they're doing for corrections to that basin that covers North Almond, South Almond, and Bonwood is nearly complete. They are sending their findings over to our city engineer for collaboration, and hopefully we'll have that report in the next week or so. And then we'll take that information. I actually have a meeting tomorrow with our FEMA representatives for all of our reimbursable expenses to date. And we often talk about those stormwater repairs that need to be made as well. They're fully aware of those projects. And my hope is that, you know, within the next week or two, when I get all that information, we can give them an update on that.
Okay, and lastly, the downtown revitalization and streetscape, it just keeps, we see the same thing every month. Is there, we're gonna get to a timeline where something's actually gonna happen?
Well, I have good news to report. First Baptist Church, who has many of the easements that we needed to be able to bid the project out, signed and donated those easements to the city last week, okay, which is saving us a few $100,000 because they were willing to donate those easements. We're still working with other property owners, you know, ones that we have a relationship with. We're working on donations, but so far none of them have signed their paperwork, but we're getting closer. Also, last Friday, I submitted our request to Senator Turner and Representatives Vaughn and Willis to help with direct allocation from the state to help with filling that funding gap between the funds we have available and what we need to complete the project.
Well, I guess also is the DHEC, or whatever they're called now, mm-hmm, permitting.
Still there.
Is anybody in the state can help push that along? I mean, that's, we've been talking about this for a year.
It's been in their hands since August. It was very frustrating. I can certainly ask if our state representatives can help with that. I know that our engineer for that project checks in with them weekly. There have been two times that they've had comments and he's responded to them, but nothing that would have required him to change the plans. So we're not sure why this is dragging on so long. A lot of people have said it's because they split the agency and they're still trying to work out the logistics of who's responsible for what. I think they're understaffed, all of those things. But obviously, you know, we're pushing as hard as we can on this end. I would love to see it started before I leave. That's been a goal.
Thank you.
Councilman Hutchins.
I have a question in that same line of thinking. Do we have an idea of when we might be able to get an answer on the $13 million we're requesting from?
I just submitted it to them on Friday. The House has just begun, Ways and Means has just begun their budget work. It's very early on in the process, but I will tell you that, and I made a mental note when I saw this, Bruce Bannister, who is the chair of Ways and Means, said it was a couple months ago on the news that they were trending about $100 million ahead of their projected revenues. So if that trend continues, then there's no question that they would have funding available to help local governments with these types of projects. Also, as I continue to remind them, much of the work we're doing is on their roads and sidewalks. And so they really need to put money into this project because we're helping them fix an issue that's been an issue for a very long time.
Also, will we be able to proceed with the work before we get that extra funding? Or
That's going to be a conversation that I'll need to have with council. If we get bids back before the funding is announced, we'll have to decide how you all want to proceed. It's very difficult to phase that project. I think it's going to have to either be done or not done. But we do have other options. We're in a very strong position on the hospitality and accommodations tax funding. So if we had to go back to the bond market, that's a possibility. I don't want to do that. I would rather the state pay their fair share and bridge that funding gap. But we do have options available. And the time to discuss that will be when we know the exact cost of the project. And we're not just relying on cost estimates anymore.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Council. Thank you, Mr. Gershman.
Thank you.
So there are representatives of each of our departments here, department heads, and other parts of our city staff. Are there any questions for them? You see their reports. Are there any questions for them? Council Member Reed.
Yeah, Chief Angel, you have just a second. I see more and more of them, but the vehicles that have the under the lighting, the low realm, you know, the underneath cars, are those legal in the city?
No, they're not legal. It's a state law that prohibits that stuff, so they can be ticketed if our guys catch them out there running while they're all actively on the roadways.
Parked, it's okay.
Yes, parked, and yeah, that's how they market that stuff, is aftermarket features or accessories, and they can be used in parking lots or places, private property, if they're at a car show or something like that, but they're not supposed to run them on the highways or roadways.
Okay. And then real quick, are you familiar with these speakers tonight's neighborhood?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I was actually taking some notes myself so we can redirect, because I know some of our guys work the traffic stuff from the interstate back towards coming into town, but I'm going to see if we can't move them back a little further and try to address some of these concerns.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Mayor Council. Before we leave, I'm going to tag on to Councilmember Root's comment about the lights under the vehicles. I think we should also be looking at the vehicles that have especially red lights on the front of their vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
That's not legal either, so if you
correct,
pass that along as well. So, Councilmember Hutchins?
Yes, Chief, I have a couple of questions regarding traffic as well. I'm getting quite a few complaints in Westwood about speeding in the neighborhood. As you know, I live on Alder, and Alder's a cut through for Davenport to Neely Ferry. And we have a couple of youngsters in our house under three, and I'm pretty concerned about them being out in the front yard most of the time because of that. Can you give me an idea of what you're doing there right now as far as policing the area and anything that you could do maybe to increase that in any way?
Well, again, this is about allocating resources, so we are working on some stop sign complaints actually over in the Davenport area that just came into us a couple days ago, yesterday, I believe it was. So we can, if anybody over there will let us know when they're seeing an increase in this kind of stuff, we'll try to allocate our resources properly and address those issues. So I can make a note of that too, and I'll put that on our list of target areas.
Thank you.
And if I may, address the issue that was brought up tonight, Chief Hanshaw and I have spoken about that. Councilmember Williams has come to speak with me because she's received some concerns. Of course, it's an SCDOT roadway. We can enforce speeding if we're able to allocate resources to that, but we cannot change the speed limit. I'm hoping the noise will be alleviated some once that paving is complete. What they're doing right now is just a patching, and as soon as the temperature is warm enough, they'll resurface that. Now that, again, is not going to help with speeding concerns, but it may help with some of the traffic concerns because you're not going to hear, especially those trucks, bumping on all of those potholes in the road. So I do want to say that, you know, Chief and I talk very frequently about problem areas, and we have ordered a radar speed limit sign to go on that section of West Georgia as it curves around to Maple that will flash the speed that people are going, and we're hoping that that will make them more mindful that they need to slow down when they see that. And we have those posted around the city, but that's where one will go as soon as it's ordered right now.
Actually, they just came in. We've got them. We're getting ready to schedule stuff with Public Works to get them put up. So
very good. So hopefully you all will see that radar speed sign out there soon that I hope will help some.
Chief, I noticed six open positions for police officers. That's probably the most I've seen in 8 years. So we have prospects.
Well, it's been a little while, yes, since we've been to that level. We had a couple folks going through the process. We've had some watch. We had a few change their minds. So we're actively doing some interviews and testing and stuff and currently to fill those positions.
Is there anything the city's doing that deters?
I'm sorry.
Is there anything the city's doing that deters or isn't?
No, not that I'm aware of. It's getting more difficult. As I said, for the last several years, it's been harder to fill these positions. We actually were targeting some certified. We've had a little bit of influx and had some luck in that area compared to some places. So we're actively looking, searching to fill those positions as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Anything for our other departments? Thank you. I will tell all the staff we appreciate you coming in. You are not required to stay here for the rest of the meeting. We have a fairly long agenda, but you're welcome to stay if you want to. We won't hurt our feelings if you get up and leave. So, thank you. Item 7 is business. These are items that are anticipated to come before council at the next business meeting. So, any item that we approve tonight will be moved to the agenda of the next business meeting. Item 7A is Council Access Communications. This is pending from the previous committee of the whole meeting from January 28th, so no new motion or second is necessary. I'll now restate the motion and discussion will resume. We have a motion by Councilmember O'Rear with a second by Councilmember Pinkerton to approve the proposed ordinance regarding Council Access Communications. It is our practice and part of our rules that typically the presiding officer lets the rest of council speak and then goes last. And so every member of council had a chance to speak at our last meeting, so I'm going to take my turn. Members of council, I appreciate a passion for open communication with our citizens and desire for access to communications platforms. However, I must respectfully oppose the proposed ordinance for several critical reasons. First and foremost, the current arrangement regarding mayor's posts on the city website was already carefully designed to maintain professionalism and neutrality. Regarding discussion up to this point, I feel like clarification is necessary. These posts were not my idea. This is a process created and implemented by our community relations specialist, Justin Campbell, who is a very capable professional. posed by the mayor, let me be clear, I'm talking about Paul Shoemaker, posed by the mayor have always been subject to editorial approval by city staff to ensure that they include only objective information and community-focused topics, field reports, updates on city projects, neutral announcements. These posts were never used to address policy, my personal positions on council agenda items, or any political or campaign-related matters. This crucial editorial oversight ensures that communication through the city website remains a trusted and apolitical resource for our residents. Allowing every member of council to post on the website even similar editorial restrictions poses significant legal and practical challenges. The primary concern is the potential for legal hazard to the city. While editorial approval might theoretically prevent inappropriate content, there remains a substantial risk of disputes over what is permissible and what crosses the line. These disputes could undermine public trust and possibly result in litigation. Moreover, creating an open communication channel for all council members risks fostering an unintended competition among members. Council members might feel compelled to post frequently to avoid being perceived as disengaged or indifferent to their roles. Such pressure could detract from the collaborative spirit that is essential for effective governance. Such pressure to post across seven council members might also create additional work for our city staff. Mayoral posts have been made three or four times a year. Even at that limited pace, across seven council members, that could be 20 or 30 posts a year. Staff already have full-time jobs, and taking on this additional work would mean giving up something else. Must be ensured that this platform does not devolve into a space for debate or disagreement among council members. Written posts could inadvertently dislodge sharp arguments, creating a public perception of divisive position in the council. This is not only counterproductive, but also detrimental to the image of the city government as a single body working in the best interest of Citizenville. Council members already have numerous avenues to communicate with constituents, including public meetings, community events, social media, and personal outreach. These methods provide ample opportunity to share ideas and receive feedback without missing the challenges outlined above. One aspect of this proposed ordinance comes from an important misunderstanding. Equal voting rights among council members, including the mayor, pertain specifically to legislative decisions, where every vote carries the same weight, a policy and law that I fully support. This principle ensures fairness in the decision-making process. However, and this is an extremely important point, it does not mean that the roles and responsibilities of council members and the mayor are identical or interchangeable. In the council administrative form of government, the mayor often has the same responsibilities that set the role apart, even if their votes carry the same weight as other council members. These responsibilities typically include representing the city as a figurehead, presiding over meetings, acting as a spokesperson for the city. The mayor's public communication falls under these broader duties of representation and leadership, which is the difference in the role, not a matter of equality. State law does not imply that equality and voting rights extends to identical privileges or duties in all other aspects of governance. It recognizes that different roles within the council have different responsibilities and expectations. This distinction is essential for maintaining the structure and efficiency of the council administrative system. State law considers the mayor the chief elected official of a municipality. The mayor is often required to sign grant awards for federal or state agencies, contracts, grant applications, to act as the signatory to authorize city staff to disperse funding, and being the signatory for all ordinances enacted by council. Mayoral duties include representing the city on regional bodies, such as the Greenville Pickensbury Transit Study Committee, the group that manages regional road planning. The mayor signs reimbursements for homestead exemptions and tax relief certification. An interpretation that equal voting rights necessitates identical roles outside of voting does not align with the intent of this form of government. It is comparing fundamentally different aspects of governance. It is apples and oranges. But here's the most problematic issue of all. This proposed ordinance goes too far, and I quote, "All non-mayoral council members are to have access equal to that of the mayor through all avenues of communication with the citizens of Simpsonville, to include but not limited to the city website, print media, and electronic media." And here's the bridge too far. Disability shall not be limited by decision of anybody other than the elected members of the council. In other words, not subject to any editorial control. The council member, an agenda item have to be proposed to curtail this out of control council member. Then you may picture council trying to control an individual council member is problematic in and of itself. The only concrete action that could be taken would be to cut access altogether. I want each member of the council to think about this carefully. You don't need any imagination at all to think that council members should publicly dispute decisions of the council, who will not listen to the legal advice of our city attorney, will not listen to the sage words of experience from the long career of a skilled city administrator, who tries to reverse past decisions of council by working outside the council as a whole, not even involving us, not following council rules. Do you really want to vote in an ordinance that would give a council member free rein until council would have to vote to reel them in? I must say, I was offended by some council member comments in previous discussion that ascribed ulterior motives to me or by taking advantage on some particular way. However, setting aside my hurt feelings, because this is a non-council, is clear. No member of council, including me, should have access to this way. So today I sent the following email to Administrator Gracely. Dear Administrator Gracely, please accept my formal request to remove all posted articles published under my name on the mayor's message at citizenville.com. The only exception I request is the mayor's welcome message, which is an appropriate and personal message of welcome to the public. Generic message from the city just doesn't feel right. Thank you for your consideration, and please let me express my gratitude to Justin Campbell, the community relations specialist, for his idea and implementation of these messages over the past few years. Based on input from members of council, I believe this request reflects their consensus. Now, having cleared that up, I support a major council member's part of the webpage as proposed by Mr. Campbell. I encourage all council to provide any information requested by Mr. Campbell to create such a page. The only piece of this I might oppose or do oppose is any form of a web link to external sites or social media belonging to council members. I believe this would have the appearance of endorsement by the city. In conclusion, while I support equitable access to communication in principle, the implementation of this ordinance would create far more problems than it seeks to solve. For these reasons, I urge my fellow council members to vote against this proposal. And to be clear, I am opposed to any further postponement and believe we should vote this down tonight. Council? Councilmember O'Hare.
This was done for a reason. Part legal, part the fact that, like I say in the previous meeting, June 11th, first time I asked for this. I didn't demand anything. I said, hey, I would like to do this too. No one to this day has ever asked me what I thought of my own website. Never. Because decided that I'm going to put political commentary, offensive commentary, whatever commentary. But really the biggest reason that I did this, and getting back to I'm now a council member. Administration does work for council. That's how it goes. So to have multiple different parties decide what's too much to do, who's got what to do, and who's got when to do it, that's an awfully subjective thing. But from June 11th forward until what I call the meetings I had today here in City Hall, everyone in administration had the absolute ability to call me, email me, text me, whatever they wanted to meet with me, to tell me everything that was told to me that day, but they didn't take that opportunity. And when it got down to the fact that the website was launched and it wasn't there, which didn't shock me, I go and inquire. And I don't know how we all raised, and I don't know what personal interactions mean to everybody, and I know what they mean to me. When I
make what I think is a reasonable request. I might throw a little information on there myself, maybe some tomorrow, whatever. To flat be told to my face, I am not going to do the work. You're going to have to pass an ordinance to make me. So that's why we're here today. There's ways to do things. There's ways to talk to people. There's ways to interact with people, especially a council member in a municipality. I didn't ask anything that was illegal, immoral, or unethical. The city had all the ability in the world to tell me on June 12th, it can't happen, it's just too much. They did not take that until I came and enforced the issue and asked for it directly because it had already happened. And to turn around and look me in the face and just flat refuse is not the way to do it. I did not appreciate it, and I will never appreciate any interaction like that. If you want to tell me no, I'm a big boy, I can take it. But don't jump me like that. Don't tell me I'm not going to do it unless you force me to. That I'm the wrong person to do that to. This was unnecessary, should never have happened. This is a symptom of a larger problem. But at this point, and Mayor will talk about this, I have no interest in moving this forward. So at this point, I'm going to make a motion, Mayor and Council, as I get my glasses on so I can read it, to postpone this item indefinitely. We'll be done with it. So is Council votes. Hearing no second, that motion dies.
Sheets, Roche, second.
Okay, I will withdraw that. We have a motion from Councilmember Rivera, but a second from Councilmember Roche. This item is debatable. Council? I'm opposed to any postponement, indefinitely or otherwise. I think we should vote down this motion to postpone indefinitely and vote on the main motion and end it for good tonight. Council?
Council? I thought you wanted to go away. It's the easiest way to do it. This is making up a political point now. We can vote on this motion and it will kill it. You know that. You don't need to go back to the original motion. It's just gamesmanship now. We talked about this. So I say we vote on this motion and be done with it.
Council? Councilmember Roche.
Somebody explain to me the difference between postponing indefinitely or voting down the original motion. We get the same effect either way.
Postponing indefinitely means that it effectively will not come back to council unless it's actively put back on the agenda by a council member. The only difference would be if we vote on the main motion is then council has spoken on the ordinance itself, rather than laying it on the table indefinitely, postponing indefinitely, with this thing still alive out there that could be reintroduced. Instead, we could vote on the main motion and say what we really think, one way or the other. It's not precisely the same.
The main motion could be reintroduced.
Councilmember Shea.
Even if we vote down the motion as is, it can be brought back 365 days later, according to ordinance.
Yes, that's correct. But it would be 365 days, so the postponement indefinitely could be brought back next committee of the hall.
Well, thank you.
Councilor Brewer.
Just like I said, it does the same thing. 365 or days or minutes doesn't matter. It's the same thing. It's nothing more than wanting to get more debate in on something that's completely unnecessary at this point. All right, for all intents and purposes, withdraw it.
Would you be willing to withdraw?
Is there a motion for that?
Point of order. The motion that is currently on the floor is the motion to postpone the debt. So I disagree that there is no difference. There is a difference of how soon something that could be recalled and put back in front of council. And I think we should just take care of it tonight, at least for 365 days.
Councilmember Green. Question. If everybody, or if the unanimous decision was no, what will be the next step?
It would, that would be the end of it. It wouldn't advance to the business agenda.
So no vote would cancel?
Well, on the motion to postpone indefinitely, it only just postpones it until somebody were to bring it back up again, which might be never.
But if you voted no?
But if you vote no, then it dies tonight.
Okay.
But it can be brought back to 365.
So voting no would be the same as canceling it all together?
For the party.
Since I had four, I wrote and said that I wasn't going to vote for it. I didn't agree with the way it was written, and I stated it, so I kind of flummoxed as exactly which way to go. I would prefer that we would just kill it tonight, but there's no motion on the floor to do that. So my vote would be no, I think. I would not want to push on it.
Councilmember Green. On a postpone indefinitely can be reconsidered, says only after an affirmative vote. Can someone translate that for me?
You have to have a motion to reconsider. You have to put it on the agenda to be reconsidered.
So in other words, this kills it, because if I bring it up next committee of the whole, then we're going to magically have to say yes to it again. So my motion does everything that needs to be done. There's no need to take two votes on this. Take a vote on my motion and be done with it.
I just have a request. Could we enter a transcript of your statement and the email into the minutes for this meeting?
Yes, absolutely. I will share this with the clerk. It's not typically how minutes are done. If you would like to make a motion to include this verbatim in the minutes, we can do that after we vote on the subsidiary motion, the main motion. Any further discussion from council on the motion to postpone? So on the motion to postpone indefinitely, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
On the motion, and all those opposed signify by saying no.
No.
No. Clerk, would you call the roll call?
Councilmember O'Meara?
Yes.
Councilmember Root?
Yes.
Councilmember Williams?
No.
Councilmember Roche?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinkerton?
No.
Councilmember Hutchins?
No.
Mayor Schumacher?
No. So the motion to postpone fails by a vote of 3-4. 3 yeses. Any further discussion on the main motion? On the motion to approve the proposed ordinance regarding council access to communications, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
We have a motion to have this in minutes.
Yeah, I think we should deal with that immediately following. Well, no, I think you may be correct.
I don't think it makes a difference one way or the other.
It doesn't make a whole lot of difference, but it does make it clear that it is actually part of this discussion. So can you make a motion to that effect, Mr.
Hutchins? Mayor and Council, I'd like to make a motion to include Mayor's statement and the email into the minutes of tonight's meeting.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchins with a second from Councilmember Root. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. All those opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0, which is unanimous. That's the standard of the requirement. Now, on the main motion, which is a motion to approve the proposed ordinance regarding council access communications. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All those in favor signify by saying no.
No.
No. That motion fails by a vote of one yes and six no's. Item 7B, amend ordinance 0-2018-07. Councilmember Perigin, would you sound right, please?
Yes, Mayor and Council, City Ordinance 2018-07 was enacted to amend Sections 2-161, 2-165, and 2-164, requiring a positive vote of five council members for the employment decisions regarding the city administrator and department heads, as well as for amendments to the ordinance itself. I'm going to propose amending Ordinance 2018-07 to require a positive vote of four members instead of five, and to remove Section 4 in its entirety. This adjustment ensures that decisions align with the principle of majority rule, preventing a minority from blocking action supported by the majority. A four-vote requirement also encourages active participation and engagement, as every vote directly impacts decision-making. Therefore, I move that City Council amend Ordinance 2018-07, modifying Sections 2-161, 2-165, and 2-164 to require a positive vote of four members of Council, and deleting Section 4 in its entirety.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Perigin. You guys will tell me, I don't know which one of you was right, but the second from Councilmember over here. Discussion? Councilmember Roche.
I think it's a point of order, but Section 4 of the ordinance as written says the amendments called for by this ordinance may only be further amended by the positive vote of five members of council. So if I'm reading this correctly, we have to overcome that before we can reconsider a new redoing this ordinance.
Administrator Grissom, did you talk with our city attorney?
I did, and to explain that, two things. One, when this ordinance was codified in 2018, that five-vote rule to overturn or amend was not included in the codification. That would have been okay because the original motion or the original ordinance had it. It's problematic in Attorney General's opinions that say no council should bind a future council, therefore you can amend with four votes.
Yeah, this is gonna be fun. You're my election cycle. I publicly criticized this ordinance. And nothing at all to do with Administrator Grace. I didn't know her much at the time, but yeah, I've been on record saying I think she's done a great job for the city of Simpsonville. I have just absolutely disagreed with the ordinance, and if we all recollect the slugfest that was the rewriting of our zoning ordinances that were roughly very similar to this, that got us down to what this is today. And that was a battle, and it was a battle for no reason, because I was right the whole time. I was right the whole time about this one, too, except for the fact that I kept being told about it, right? Until we got the agenda this past week. I was absolutely told that the whole binding of future councils was not relevant, but now it's relevant. I was told that the
Councilmember, point of order.
I'm getting to it.
Can you get to the point?
Well, I'm getting to a point. I'm getting to the point of support, and I'm going to help explain to the Councilmember Roche what's going on with the number four. When I text or email back and forth with our city attorney, I questioned whether this was even an enforceable ordinance, much like our sign ordinance, because of Section 4. And he used the word arbitrary. I have a cousin that is an attorney, and I asked her, is there an actual definition for arbitrary? And there is. And arbitrary is a judicial decision founded on clue who I am for this. And to be told at the last second, again, just
how you were focused on the first meeting. I get to push the point of order that your discussion is not germane, that the question is being asked and answered.
I do not need this ordinance.
Councilmember O'Hare, let me finish speaking. We do not need to go over what your personally being offended by things are being told when the question has been asked and answered, and now you're going to continue to make a point that has already been conceded in the direction that you wish it to go.
I am not trying to get to it, but I keep getting gaveled down. Some things take a while, like your speech, and you have to 10, 12 minutes, where it was. So give me my opportunity to
get to your point.
Expository
statements, get to your point.
My point is this. This should have never been on the books. And that's why we're here today. And and the bad part about this is that it took an ordinance to correct a brutally flawed ordinance. And everybody knew it. Legal knew it. We knew about the sign ordinance. This should be taken care of before we have to make an ordinance. And we all
In order to amend an ordinance, it takes putting an ordinance in front of us to amend it. Regardless of whether it is legally flawed, it takes action by council to correct that flaw, or action by the courts, not action or the opinion of an individual council member.
What I'm getting at is what we need is a review of our ordinances to make sure we don't have anything else like to sit on our books. Because this has been legally enforceable for 6 years at this point, and it's wrong. And we've done that, and we shouldn't as a city have to get to a sumi-verse approach to do this. So I am in support of doing this because it should have never happened. And this is something that I've talked about for a long time. Thank you.
Council. Is there no further discussion? Councilmember Pinkerton, I'm going to ask you, there's no way I can repeat everything that you put in your motion. So on the motion to approve,
read it again,
please.
I'd be happy to. I move that City Council amend ordinance 2018-07, modifying sections 2-161, 2-165, and 2-164 to require a positive vote of 4 members of council and deleting section 4 in its entirety.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All those signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 7C, appointment of ministerial report for municipal court. Administrator Gracie, will you summarize, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. You were provided with a letter from our clerk of court, administrative judge. Her request is to have the assistant clerk of court appointed by this council to serve as a ministerial recorder, which basically gives her access to the training at the court administration office through the court administration office in Columbia. It would then, once she passes that training, allow her to substitute in place of the clerk of court to do arraignments, set bonds, sign warrants for the police department, so that there is always someone here Monday through Friday during work hours to do that. It would also allow her to do on-call if she so chooses on weekends. We could never have enough on-call judges because it is burdensome for them to be interrupted or to not be able to travel on the weekends that they are on call. So anytime we can add a new judge to that role, it's beneficial to the city. I will say that this is exactly the procedure we went through when Clerk Clark was the clerk of court. Well, let me back up. When Marie Boone was the clerk of court and Clerk Clark was her assistant, They asked, no, I backed up too far. When Clerk Clark was in Judge Strong's role as the administrative judge and clerk of court, she asked if I could present to council doing the same thing for Kimber Strong and appointing her ministerial reporter. And some of you were on council at the time, and you would remember that probably. That has proven to be a really good way to have a succession plan for that position. If something should ever happen with Judge Strong, then it would put Ms. Rogers in a position to ascend to that if council so chose to do that. And in the interim would at least allow her to continue to operate and keep court functions going. So it's been done before. I think that you can read her letter and see that she has the utmost respect for the work that Ms. Rogers has done. I do as well. I think she's a very quick learner. She's very dedicated, very committed to her role here. And the training is cumbersome, but she wishes to do that. So I think, again, that was a very long way to get to. I think this is a great thing for council to consider and to do because it would allow us to have more backups and more fail stops in the court administration.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember
Hutchins. Mayor and Council, I'd like to make a motion that Ariel Rogers, Assistant Clerk of Court, be appointed to Ministerial Recorder for Simpsonville Municipal Court.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchins with a second from Councilmember Williams. Discussion? Councilmember Root.
Does this increase staff salaries at all?
No, it's just an appointment to allow her to perform more functions.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Shea.
What would be the estimated time that she would be filling in for other judges?
So she cannot go to her training until council makes the official appointment, which if you pass this off to the business meeting, just requires one vote. In March. And then the training occurs mid-March, so she would go and complete that over a period of time. And once she is certified and can handle that role and legally perform that role, then it would just be in the absence of Judge Strong. Right now, we're covered as far as on-call judges, so I don't know if she would be inserted into the on-call rotation right away. But she certainly would be able to assist during normal business hours right away as soon as she completes her training.
Thank you. Councilmember
Roper? Yeah, I've had several interactions with Ms. Rogers. She's very pleasant. And anything you said nice about her, I believe. And it sounds like I may have a question answered, but this isn't coming from a place of dire necessity. It's for pre-planning for. Okay, thank you.
Council? On the motion to appoint Ariel Rogers, Assistant Clerk of Court, as the Ministerial Recorder for Simpsonville Municipal Court, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All those signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7 yeses and 0 noes. Very unanimous. Item 7B, resolution of the Greenville County Redevelopment Authority Annual Community Development Block Grant and Home Allocation. Administrator Gracely, would you summarize, please?
Yes, Mayor and Council. I'll try to be a little more concise in my summary of this than I was in the previous item. You all did this same resolution last year. You're required to do it every year in order to receive the community development block grant and home allocations that come from HUD to the county and then get dispersed by formula to all of the participating municipalities. This funding in the resolution is based on what they anticipate our funds to be, but they won't know that until we get a little further along in the federal fiscal year and we know whether or not the funding will remain at those levels. Either way, their projections, you know, can be amended through this based on the actual funding received. And if you look on the second page of the resolution, it spells out some of the main budget areas where we anticipate using both community development block grant and home funding.
Administrator Gracely, your motion is in order. Councilman O'Shea.
Mayor, I move that council approve resolution for GCRA annual CDBG and home allocation.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilman O'Shea with a second by Councilman Root. Discussion? Councilman Green.
Just a quick question, maybe. We did this last year. I was getting in front of that, but I don't remember, but did we obligate our last year's money to all the same things as what on here?
Last,
is there accounting for that?
So the Redevelopment Authority manages the accounting for all of these funds because they administer it on our behalf. It doesn't funnel through our finance department. Council has the opportunity to set the budget parameters for the funding through this resolution, and you're basically identifying the main areas in which you want the funds to go. It can be amended throughout the year. If we see that the funds are needed in a different area, then we could go back and have council amend that. The Redevelopment Authority receives requests for facade improvement grants, for economic development grants, home assistance, home repair assistance. And so they always come back to me at the end before anything is officially approved. They go through all of the paperwork with HUD and then ask, is this where you want the money to go? It's always within the parameters of the budget. And so they come back and ask for that permission to finalize those decisions. This is basically just setting up a budget like we would do every year. You set funds that you anticipate you'll need throughout the year in certain areas. And then if those funds need to be amended throughout the year, they can be.
Okay, thank you.
Council? On the motion to approve the resolution for the Greenville County Redevelopment Authority annual community development block grant home allocation, move this item to the agenda of the next business meeting. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All those signify by saying no. That motion carries 7-0. Item 8 is executive session to discuss contractual matter related to sale of city-owned property. The motion is in order. Councilmember Rivera.
Mayor and Council, I make a motion to move to executive session to discuss contractual matter related to the sale of city and property.
I have a motion from Councilmember Rivera with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries 7-0. I believe it is likely that council will return from executive session to vote on items that we're going to discuss. Pursuant to state law, I am required as a presiding officer to make the following statement. Since Mill City Council has approved the motion to enter executive session, during this session we will discuss a contractual matter related to the sale of city-owned property. No voting will take place during the executive session. On coming out of executive session, council may reconvene in public sessions to take action on the matter discussed during the executive session. We're now in executive session. Council has returned to public session from our executive session. Members of council, I move to direct the city administrator to create ordinance 2025-02 for the sale of city-owned property and place this item on the agenda of the next city council business meeting.
Second.
I have a motion from the mayor with a second from Councilmember Williams. Is there any discussion? Councilmember Pinkton.
I just want to be clear. If we vote to sell property, is it, for lack of a better term, by done and dusted, or does it have to go through the two ordinances?
It must go through first and second read, so we get this two more times.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Thank you.
Council? All right, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All those signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. If there are no further Objections? We will stand adjourned.